Today's reading is from the Gospel of John and can be found on page 1090 of your Bible. So it's John chapter 21, the last chapter of John, the Gospel of John, page 1090. Afterwards, Jesus appeared again to his disciples by the Sea of Tiberias. It happened in this way. Simon Peter, Thomas, called Didymus, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples were together. "I'm going out to fish," Simon Peter told them, and they said, "We'll go with you." So they went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore. But the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. He called out to them, "Friends, haven't you any fish?" "No," they answered. He said, "Throw your net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some." When they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. Then the disciple, whom Jesus loved, said to Peter, "It is the Lord." As soon as Simon Peter heard him say, "It is the Lord," he wrapped his outer garment around him, for he had taken it off, and jumped into the water. The other disciples followed in the boat, towing the net full of fish, for they were not far from the shore, about 100 yards. When they landed, they saw a fire of burning coals there with fish on it and some bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish you have just caught." Simon Peter climbed aboard and dragged the net ashore. It was full of large fish, 153. But even with so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." None of the disciples dared ask him, "Who are you?" They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came, took the bread, and gave it to them, and did the same with the fish. This was now the third time Jesus appeared to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you truly love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," he said, "you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my lambs." Again, Jesus said, "Simon, son of John, do you truly love me?" He answered, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Take care of my sheep." The third time, he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, "Do you love me?" He said, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my sheep. I tell you the truth. When you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go." Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. Then he said to him, "Follow me." This is the word of the Lord.
I want you to think back to when you were a teenager. Now, for some of us, that's quite a long time. For others like Joe, it's a year or two. But in particular, I want you to think about the best holiday you had when you were a teenager. Let me tell you about the best holiday I think I ever had. We went, our family, to Westward Ho in Devon. If any of you have been lucky enough to go there, there's the most fantastic beach, and then there are dunes behind the beach. And my dad had got hold of an ex-army ridge tent. I don't know where he got it from. It leaked, but it was a good tent. And we used to shove it up on the dunes, and that was base camp. And then we started to collect firewood, and we got all sorts of bits and pieces. We even managed to purloin some charcoal from somewhere, and very quickly we made a suitable fire. Oh, that wasn't very good. That what used to happen to the grill when I made it. We put the grill down, get it set up. There we are. Now let's try that one. I'm doing this the wrong way around. That's why it doesn't work. It just shows you how I've done this. Haven't had any barbecues for a week or two. There we are. That goes. And then we used to cook bacon and sausages and baked beans. And one glorious occasion, we caught some mackerel. And we put the mackerel on the fire. Now, actually, I'm told by the senior chef over there, these aren't mackerel, they're sea bream. But nevertheless, I thought they were mackerel when I bought them. So there we are. So they'll do. Now, I met the church warden on while we were both church cleaning yesterday, and I said I was going to light a fire in the church. I'd got some charcoal. He said, if you do that, David Hodges will skin us. Now, David isn't here today. If I'd known that, I definitely would have bought some firelighters. But as it is, you'll have to imagine the mackerel gently, or even the sea bream, gently cooking over the fire. Having a picnic is tremendous fun. I really love doing it, and I particularly love cooking out in the open air. Why were the disciples reduced to fishing the way they were? Bluntly, they were fed up. They were in limbo. Jesus had miraculously appeared to them on that first Easter day, to most of them. Then a week later, he'd appeared to all of them, including Thomas. And then just sort of nothing happened. And they didn't know what to do. They must do something. They were confused, worried about what was going to happen. They were on familiar ground in Galilee, but yet they were lost as to what purpose life was going to have for the future. I don't know if you've ever felt like that, excited about what has happened, but bothered about what's going to happen in the future. And a picnic is a great place to have a chat and sort things out. Judy showed us a number of things you can do. You actually mentioned food, but the best sort of food is food you've cooked yourself out in the open air. And in that sort of stage, Jesus comes to the disciples. In particular, he comes to Peter, because Peter had made a right mess, hadn't he? You remember back in John 13, we had the story about how Peter said, you're the Messiah, you're the one we've been waiting for. I'll always be loyal to you. I'll lay down my life for you. And he'd said the same thing just a few weeks earlier in the garden. He'd promised to be faithful, to serve Jesus forever. And then three times he denied him. He swore and he cursed and said, I don't know the guy. Stop bothering me. And here we, in John 21, we get the third appearance of Jesus to a crowd of his disciples. And what does he do? He gives Peter the chance to be restored, to be reinstated as a disciple three times, because three times Peter had denied Jesus. Jesus forgives and he heals. That song we've just sung has got it absolutely right, that healing always goes with forgiveness. I want to say that again, because often we forget that. Forgiveness brings healing. Peter had completely messed up everything he wanted to be, everything he wanted to do. And we had a reminder a few weeks ago when we looked at the story of the woman Mary who anointed Jesus' feet, that God has no rejects. Nothing is so bad that God is not willing to forgive it if we come and say sorry and repent of what we've done wrong and seek to do something better in future. Can I say that again? Because it's something we desperately have to learn in our world. God has no rejects. He is always ready to forgive, healing and forgiveness. Now, when Peter received this healing from Jesus, he was in exactly the same position physically and mentally to begin with as he had been. But what happened? His whole attitude, his whole way of life changed. We sometimes use the word conversion. Conversion is actually a military term. It means do an about turn. When they teach you to be a soldier, they teach you to march, they teach you to halt, and you're facing in that direction, and then you're told about turn. Now you're still in the same position as you were, but you're facing in a new direction. And that's where Peter was. He was facing in a new direction. I think we need to remember that there are three areas of forgiveness. The most important, the one we have here, is God forgiving Peter for the mistakes he'd made. But you know, nearly as important, which sometimes we forget, is that Peter had to forgive himself. Peter could not go on to do the amazing things he did, and we'll look at those briefly in the second part, if he had not been able to forgive himself. And third, we need to forgive others. Remember the Lord's Prayer, "Forgive us our sins as we are able to forgive those who sin against us." And if we're not willing to stop bearing grudges and forgive other people the wrong things they've done to us, then God is not able to bring forgiveness and healing to us. Sometimes you hear somebody on the television who's been very severely wrong, and they say, "I'll never forgive him." The person who is most hurt by that is the person who is refusing to forgive. We need to forgive others if God is to bring healing and forgiveness to us. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for the forgiveness and the healing that you bring to us. We thank you that you took the trouble to have that picnic by the Sea of Galilee with Peter and the other disciples. We pray that we too may receive that forgiveness and that healing from you. Amen.